I mentioned this morning we were going to start a new series of lessons on Sunday evening from the book of Proverbs. And as typical when you start a new series, especially based upon a particular book, that you will talk somewhat about the purpose of the book and the background to the book, the purpose of the book, why it was written, all these things. We want to do that tonight. And then look at the first six verses of Proverbs. So our text tonight is going to be Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. We won't necessarily, the next coming Sunday evenings, be studying it in order, but tonight we're going to look at the introduction to Proverbs, because the first six verses tells us what the book is all about and why it was written. Proverbs are a very old method of teaching. It's a very ancient method of instruction. It's been around literally for thousands of years. One of the earliest methods of teaching was using Proverbs. There were many Proverbs given long before the book of Proverbs were written. In other words, there are Proverbs given in the earlier books of the Old Testament as well. So Proverbs, that method of teaching, that type of account or lesson has been around for a very long time. When we think about Proverbs today, as far as the English word proverb, we tend to think about a kind of a short, to-the-point saying that kind of summarizes a principle. The Hebrew word that's translated Proverbs has a fuller, wider meaning than that. In Hebrew, the word that's translated Proverbs brings with it the idea of instructing people how to live a good life and how to live for God. So it's a much fuller, more encompassing word than our English word. In the book of Proverbs, it is kind of divided somewhat. The first, especially about the first eight or nine chapters in Proverbs, deal with Proverbs that, whereas they're good for everybody, they're especially given to young people. Especially to young people. Now, that doesn't mean we all can't learn from them, because we can, because there are some great lessons in those first nine chapters. But they have a great deal of relevance to young people and what they go through. You know, when you go through the book of Proverbs, you see Solomon, by inspiration, of course, instructing people how to get along. That's what a lot of the Proverbs are about, how to get along. How to get along with God, how to get along with parents, how to get along with children, how to get along with the spouse, how to get along with people you work with, how to get along with people in your country. A lot of it's about how to get along. Many Proverbs are about those relationships. And we find those again throughout the entire book. We, of course, know from the very first verse where it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Any good Hebrew or Jew would certainly come to attention when they would hear those two people's names mentioned. Solomon and David. So that would get their attention very quickly. Back in 1 Kings, I think it's chapter 4, it says that Solomon had gathered, I don't remember how many Proverbs it was, 3,000 Proverbs. Had authored 3,000 Proverbs. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it talks about how Solomon had set in order a number of Proverbs. So those would include not only the ones he personally wrote, but the ones he gathered from others, as some of the ones mentioned in the book of Proverbs, because they're all not his. They come from some other people as well. But this book, again, is all about how God wants us to live with one another, how he wants us to live with him, have a relationship with him, and it's all very, very practical advice. It starts out, of course, as we're going to see tonight, with the idea of wisdom and instruction. Wisdom is used many, many times throughout the book. And it's a particular kind of wisdom. It's a particular kind of wisdom that we'll be talking about as we go along. So the book has a tremendous amount of relevance for us today, and I hope we can get a lot from it. The very first verse, as I mentioned, says that these were the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And it says in verse 2, here's the purpose. Here's the purpose of why Solomon set in order all these Proverbs. It's so people could know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. So even within the introduction, he talks about the necessity of understanding proverbs. And he likens it to an enigma. He likens it to riddles. Some of the proverbs are very, very straightforward. Some of the proverbs are very difficult to understand. So you have to look at the context in which they're said and the reason why they are said. Because some proverbs will actually seem to contradict themselves. And as we go along, we're going to be looking at those proverbs. Two of the proverbs that seem to contradict themselves. One proverb says, answer a fool according to his folly. Another proverb says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. That seems to contradict just right on the surface. But we'll see that the context is quite different in those two things. So that's why it's so important when you read, of course, anything, to understand why it's written and the context in which it is written. He mentions here, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And if I were to pick out really one verse that summed up the whole book of Proverbs, that would be it, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Much of Hebrew poetry, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, much of that is written in a form that for us seems a little odd, but if we lived in that part of the world at that time, it would be very common. It's called Hebrew parallelism. And what it is, there will be two lines that are given. And those lines will either reinforce one another, or those two lines will kind of give an example of the second one, will give an example of the first to maybe emphasize it. Or sometimes they're given as opposites. You know, sometimes, as we mentioned this morning in the lesson, a way to live a good life is to look at somebody that's not living a good life. Well, some of the Proverbs are written in that same way. One line will give us some instruction. The next line will say how not to do that. Proverbs are, that book is filled with that type of parallelism, two parallel lines. Sometimes one reinforces the other thought. Sometimes it gives the exact opposite thought so that we can more fully understand what it's not. So there's many Proverbs just like that. So this second verse here is an example of what I'm talking about. He says to receive or to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That's a parallel thought. They reinforce each other. You don't really have the one without having the other. So he mentions wisdom and instruction. He mentions perceiving the words of understanding. What's important here and throughout the book is that for anyone to get anything out of the book of Proverbs, they have to have an attitude of learning. Everybody in here that's taught in any way know that there's a difference between teaching and learning. You can teach all day and no one learns a thing. And that's in the book of Proverbs. This is an instructional manual. Proverbs is an instructional manual. So Solomon is instructing people how to have these proper relationships and how to live right in the world. doesn't do any good unless the reader, the listener, has the right attitude or the right disposition. In other words, it's just another way of saying it would be just words that are being said. Unless someone has the right heart, the right mind, the right disposition, all of it's in vain. So when he talks about knowing wisdom and instruction, and if you have a different translation, you might see a different word there for know, because the idea in Hebrew here is gaining. See, there's a difference between knowing and gaining. Solomon wants the readers and wants the people to gain wisdom and instruction, to receive it, for it to come and be a part of them. Because just a superficial knowledge of it doesn't do any good. The Bible is not just a book of information. It's not just a book of information. It is a book that informs us how to have a right relationship with God. The whole Bible does. And in particular, certainly the book of Proverbs does that same thing. So we have to have the right disposition. We want to gain. We must have that desire to gain wisdom and gain instruction. We want to have the attitude that when we open up this book, we want to learn something from it. Because we want to know more about God and become closer to Him and have a better relationship. And if we find that we've not done something, when we read it, if we have the right attitude, then what are we going to do? We're going to go out and do it. So the Bible is not just a book of information. It's far, far more than that. But if we don't have the right disposition, if we don't want to gain wisdom, if we don't want to be taught, if we don't want to gain knowledge and understanding, then we won't. So we must have that disposition. And I think a lot of times that's why people, you'll ask them about the class or the sermon or whatever, and they'll say they got nothing out of it. Probably it's because they didn't have the right disposition. They didn't have the right attitude. They didn't come to the lesson, come to the sermon, come to reading with the disposition, you know, I'm going to learn something from this so that I can have a better relationship with God, or I can become closer to God, or I can become a better spouse, parent, citizen, whatever. So Proverbs begins by saying that the purpose is for all the readers, the listeners, to gain wisdom and to gain understanding, to gain instruction, to gain knowledge. That's what Solomon wants. Solomon's not just writing down a bunch of stuff. He wants people to prosper and benefit from all of his words. So it's the idea of receiving what needs to be received, to gain it. He wants in verse 3 for the people to gain, to receive the instruction of wisdom. He mentions four things. Wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. There's a distinction between those, somewhat. And it's interesting, the word wisdom in verse 3 is not the same Hebrew word as in verse 2. Very different Hebrew word. The one in verse 2 is the one we typically think about being wisdom. You know, the ability to understand knowledge, to put it in its right context, to know how to use it, to know how to apply it. Wisdom in verse 3 is more the idea of thoughtfulness. To think about the things that you're being taught. So he says, this is what I want you to receive. I want you to receive that type of wisdom. He says, I want you to receive justice. Justice is an unusual word in that there are no degrees. You're either just or you're unjust. You ever think about that? There aren't any degrees. If you're a little bit unjust, then you're just unjust, period. There aren't degrees of it like there are of some things. You're either just or you're not. No such thing as being partially just. Doesn't exist. We'll see in the book of Proverbs, lots of places that talk about and define and help us understand what it means to be just. Just toward God, just toward our family, just toward our children, just toward each other. How to be just. How to be right in our dealings with them. And often in our world, people are not. They don't deal with each other in a just way. He says, judgment, which in some translations is the idea of discernment. Being able to discern between right and wrong. How often do you come across people today that don't seem to be able to do that? They can't discern between right and wrong. You talk to them and it's like they have no idea that something is wrong. It should be obvious, but it's not. So Solomon wants the readers here to gain from his writings the ability to know right and wrong. You know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, how the Word of God is sharp and powerful and able to discern those things. See, the Bible helps us do that. Book of Proverbs helps us to do that. Book of Proverbs helps us to be able to tell, to differentiate between right and wrong, good and evil. Because the world often doesn't seem to have a clue as the difference between those two things. But justice and judgment and equity, being fair. How many people, you know, leave jobs and so forth because they weren't treated fairly? A lot of people just want that. They just wanted to be treated fairly. And if they're treated fairly, they'll do about anything. They just want to be treated fairly. Solomon in the book of Proverbs gives many proverbs about what it means to treat people fairly. And don't we all want to be treated fairly? I'm sure most of us have probably at one time or another not been treated fairly, so we know what it means to not be treated fairly. Solomon informs us and teaches us, if we're willing to receive it, if we have the right disposition and attitude, how to treat people fairly and what it means to treat people fairly. And all of this is kind of embodied in the idea of wisdom and understanding. It's a skill. Solomon in the book of Proverbs is trying to teach us a skill. It is. It's a skill. And if we learn it and we master it more and more, then we can relate to God, we can relate to other people much better. So those are some of the purposes Solomon has for this book. He wants us to learn those things if we have the right attitude. And God's people, more than any other people on earth, should know about justice and fairness and treating people right and discerning right and wrong. Shouldn't God's people know those more than any other group of people on earth? I think they should. I think we should be, you know, setting the path there and leading others so that when they know us, now they'll know that guy's fair or she is very just. You can count on her to do the right thing. He knows the difference between right and wrong. That should describe God's people. And so Solomon wants us to know what those are. Verse 4, he says, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Here, I mentioned that a lot of the first few chapters are about young people. But in particular, he's emphasizing young people who are inexperienced. Those of you who are more experienced, we'll use that instead of older. Those of you who are more experienced, did you ever do something silly when you were younger? See, that's what he's talking about here. And you think later, boy, what kind of idiot was I when I was whatever age? Well, that's the kind of people he's talking about in verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, the inexperienced, you know, the ones who've not experienced life, and they're gullible, tend to be more gullible. So Solomon addresses many proverbs to that particular group to help them through those times so that they'll understand when these things happen. that they can go through them without having so many crises as the rest of us sometimes do. So prudent, the idea of being able, again, to know the difference between making the right choice and the wrong choice. Someone that's prudent is able to do that. When given choices to make, the prudent person will weigh the choices, won't rush into anything, will weigh the choices, will understand the consequences of each of the choices, and then make the right one. That's the prudent. So Solomon here says he wants to give that ability to the inexperienced, the young, as he calls the simple, so that they'll have this knowledge and this discretion. That's what he wants them to have. Because he says a wise man, and he describes them, a wise man will do what? Will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Hear and increase learning. Regardless of a person's age and experience, Solomon says that individual, if he's wise, will continue to learn. We'll never get to the point where he or she feels that they have all the knowledge and wisdom and understanding they need. A wise man will continue to become wiser, will become more knowledgeable, more prudent, more understanding, more thoughtful, more just, more equitable, all of those things. So a wise man will continue to attain and increase his learning. And Solomon says you can do that by following the words here in the book of Proverbs, because they will help you live a wiser life, a more prudent life, a more thoughtful life, a more just and fair life. He says that's what I'm going to tell you. He says this man of understanding that he mentions in the second part of the verse comes from an interesting Hebrew phrase. It comes from the idea of steering a boat. Hebrew words all have interesting backgrounds to them. And this one comes from the idea of being able to steer. A man of understanding is able to steer between obstacles. And that's what he's bringing forth here when it says a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. It's like that boat captain who's experienced and he knows where the rocks are, he knows where the shallows are, he knows where the rough spots are, and he's able to steer through them and around them. Solomon says that's what the man of understanding is. He knows where he can fall. He knows where he can stumble. He can know where he can run aground. So the wise man knows those things and makes proper choices and decisions to avoid them. Often, the young and inexperienced don't. But Solomon says, I'm going to teach you things to help you make those right steering choices, to avoid the shipwrecks, to avoid the crashes, to avoid the accidents. But Solomon says you have to have the right attitude, the right disposition to receive this instruction. If you don't receive it, you're going to hit those rocks, you're going to make those shipwrecks, and you're going to have those falls. But Solomon says you just need to listen. And then in verse 6, he says, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. That's what a wise man will do. A wise man will understand a proverb, will understand an enigma, will know the words of the wise and their riddles. Because some things are more difficult than others. One of the biggest mistakes that people make when they read the Bible is they assume everything is literal. Everything. From Genesis to Revelation, they assume every last thing is literal. Solomon is telling you right here that some of the things he's going to tell you are figurative. He uses figurative language, symbolic language. And he says you won't understand them unless you're wise. Some things take more time, right? Remember what Peter said about Paul? 2 Peter, he said, some of Paul's writings are more difficult. It takes more time. But the unlearned, the people that rush in and don't take time to understand, they twist the Scriptures. And so they don't understand. Well, that's what Solomon is saying here in verse 6. The wise man, you know, will put forth the effort, will do his best to understand these riddles, these proverbs, these enigmas. Enigma is something that's very difficult to understand. Remember, that was a word Winston Churchill used of Adolf Hitler. He was an enigma. And he was certainly an enigma, but something that's difficult to come to a clear understanding of at first glance. Solomon says some of the proverbs are like that, but a wise man can understand them. He can understand them, come to know what they mean, so that he can become a wiser man. He can understand the proverbs, the enigmas, the riddles, and as a result, become a much, much wiser man. That's the introduction to the book of Proverbs. Solomon says, I want you, all of the people who read this, to become better in their relationships by reading this. If you have the right heart and the right disposition, and you allow these sayings, if you spend time with these sayings, and you read them, and you study them, and you allow them to change who you are. See, reading and studying is not enough. You must allow them to change your relationships, to change how you live. It says if you do that, you will have a better life. Your relationships will be better with each other. Your relationship with God will be better. And, of course, that thought is carried all the way through the New Testament. Those people who experience the new birth, they must first repent. Those people who believe in Jesus must repent. And that repentance brings with it the idea of someone changing inwardly, giving their lives over, in this case, to Christ. They're not going to do what they want anymore, follow what the world wants. They're basically putting their lives in Christ's hands and saying, I'm going to follow you. That's a disciple, a follower. And that's what they're going to do. That thought has been with us throughout the Bible. And so tonight, if you are ready to make that great change, as we saw this morning with Jared, that great change where you turn your life over to Christ, submit to Him, go into the waters of baptism and be immersed, and come up a new creature, I encourage you not to wait another day, but to come as we stand and sing this next song.